Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to LAID, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. I am your host, Stephanie Wallace, along with host Tyson Cherry. Tyson, how are all? Tyson. Here we go. People, I'm promising you I'm going to get me another way to do this. But in the meantime, while we try and get Tyson in on the line, our show tonight is going to be talking to loved ones and caretakers, family members of people who live with disabilities. I mean, we know already what it's like to live with a disability, but I'm wondering what it looks like from the other side, from the people who have to live with you, you know, every day, people who love you. I've been through a couple of emotional exchanges with family members, and that's what made me think of this going through it with my family, as well as listening to other people talk about what's going on with their families. Hey, Tyson, how are you?
Fine. Well, I'm doing there. Can you hear me?
Excuse me?
You can
yes,
hear
I can
me,
hear
huh?
you.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, are you getting that echo?
No.
You hear an echo? Okay, so then maybe
no.
Everybody can hear us just fine. I want to ask you, Tyson, we've discussed earlier, you know, that you became disabled about 10 years ago.
Yes.
And, you know, we've discussed what it's been like for you, you know, living with a disability. What have you seen from your family? Like, how does it look to you? How does it seem that they're taking it?
Now they're taking it all right. It's just an adjustment to them. It seems like it to me. They think that I'm still weak like I was at the beginning stage, but now I have gotten stronger and things are not the same. I think to myself, they don't realize that at all. That's the problem we have, I have now with them. They don't realize that what I'm doing now is that I'm trying to take away most of the things that they were doing for me. And I do on my own now, you see. One thing is that, like, as a sister, I used to call my mother's house all the time, you see. Every time I book it, and that she was receiving encore. So now I changed her number to my cell number. To my cell number now, and they call that my cell number now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that, She used to have to sign documents for me, and I signed it on my own, you see. Yes.
Okay.
It's just little things that I took away from her that she used to do for me, but she doesn't realize that yet. She really doesn't realize it, no, not all. But it will take time for us to see that. It will take time. She is faster overprotective, you see. Overprotective of me, that's all.
Yes. Okay.
For sure.
I'm sorry. I was told that I have an echo. I hope it's understandable that people can still understand. But you know, my health has been failing. Well, I'm not going to say my health has been failing, but my condition has been getting worse since about maybe early 2000 and something. You know, I started with the cane, and then it went to the walker, and then the wheelchair. And I think that with my family, I've been getting, you know, I sort of feel like I get a little disappointment. Like, Mommy, you're really not trying hard enough. And if you eat, exercise, and do all the right things, you'll be okay again. You know, and I've had some really emotional exchanges. I remember one day I ended up hanging up the phone on my daughter, my son, and my sister, all in the same day.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
You know, because I felt like with my youngest daughter that she was projecting her fears on me because she gets really fearful. Even before I got sick, she would just bust out in tears. And you ask her, what's the matter? And she'd say, I don't want you to die. So now that I've gotten, you know, I had this situation, it's like she thinks that I'm hiding things from her. Like, you know, if I go to the doctor, she's like, well, what did the doctor say? And I'll tell her. And she doesn't really believe me for real. You know, like, it's almost like she's waiting. You know, like,
yes.
I'm sure it would be disappointing, but it's almost a relief, probably. I don't know. I'm not going to put that on her. And then my son turned around, and in the same day, we had a conversation. And this is my oldest son. And he got really upset with me because I had something at my foot. I had like a ulcer on my foot, and it was like a hole in my foot, and it wasn't healing. And they see things like that, and they see me deteriorating to them in their eyes. You know, I'm deteriorating. Over the past few years, I've lost a lot of weight. So to them, I look frail. You know, and he went through such an emotional thing with me, you know, telling me, you know, like he doesn't have children yet, and you know, it almost like it seemed like, you know, like I'm trying to do this on purpose, but of course I'm not. This is just it, and I feel like it's something between the way I feel, which I feel fine, and what they see. You know, so to me, I feel fine. To them, they see weakness. They see me, you know, like I'm on my way out. And maybe the truth is somewhere in between there. And so I'm wondering from other, you know, my son was supposed to call in. I don't know if the lines are too full because, believe it or not, we got some full lines here. The lines look full. And I'm wondering what... You know, what from family members, from loved ones, what it's like. So I'm going to talk with Michael. Michael, I'm about to let you in, so hold on. Hopefully I'm letting you in. This acts funny sometimes. Let's see. Come on, Michael. Michael. Oh, boy. It's not acting right. Hold on. Michael. Anyway, I'm sorry. I hate for the dead air, the dead space.
Yes.
But,
so, Seb, you're saying that you are declining some? So you're like the opposite of me. I'm saying when I first went to the hospital, they said that I walked into the hospital, right, and the doctor told me that there was nothing wrong with me. I was practicing walking, and then he again observed me just when I was walking, and there was nothing to me. There was nothing wrong. So I left. I found myself out of the hospital and left. You see, at the beginning, I signed myself out the hospital and left. And my parents, my mother, she got mad at me. Why the hell do you need a hospital? Because I did not see nothing wrong at all. I did not see nothing wrong at all. But just imagine, when you go into the hospital, you go there when you are sick and you get better. So imagine me,
right.
I would have stayed there and got worse, and they got worse, and I had to get worse. There's no way they can do that, I believe. So
wait, you said you got worse?
The
hospital?
Imagine if I would have stayed inside the hospital and got worse, my family were not able to handle the information, I believe so. You see, good thing, to me, I think it's a good thing that I left and got worse at home, yes,
mm-hmm.
but not inside the hospital. I
right.
do not believe they can handle that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe, because regardless, I'm supposed to get better, you see.
Right.
Other people are still get better, not worse. I was that got worse and then got better.
Right.
I don't think they would handle that at good at all, I believe.
Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel or have you ever felt like a burden on your family after your disabled, after
at
your
at the beginning, yes. At the beginning, yes. Because I never forget when I was 18 years old and my mother was on the phone with her sister and she said, I've been getting ready to go to work. She told me, oh, we had to get a passport for my brother. I said, what do you mean you had to get a passport for your brother? He can go and get his shit himself. Ain't nothing wrong with him. Why are you getting something for your post? He never gets for himself. And look at me now. My sister has to do stuff for me. She doing stuff for me now, you see? I thought I was a burden then. I felt that way, you see? I did. I thought I was a burden. I couldn't do nothing, but now I can, you see? Now
right.
I can, yes, yes.
Okay, I'm going to try again to get Michael in and see if we can.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. This is really not good. I'm sorry, Michael, because I know you're holding and you've been on the line since the beginning here. Oh, goodness. I'm sorry. Ah, there we go. There we go.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good,
except
good, good.
Except for a little cold.
Except for what?
I have a little cold. I'm late. I forget it.
Oh,
that's about it. Otherwise, I'm good. How's everything with
okay.
you?
Everything is good. Everything is good. I want to ask you. I want you to jump right in.
Okay.
So we know that you're married to someone who
yes, I am.
Who lives with a disability.
Yes.
And I want to know from you as a loved one,
mm-hmm.
what type of
mm-hmm.
emotions does it bring up for you to watch your husband go through the things that he goes through with his illness?
Oh, I always worry he's going to fall. So I like to do things for him, and then he gets mad at me. So, you know, it's like, I always worry he's going to hurt himself, you know, and he gets really terrible at me. So that's one thing, you know. It's, I love him, and you know, that's one thing. I know he loves doing things for himself. So
mm-hmm.
when I go, you know, and when I go out, I'm even more nervous, you know. But I know he could do more, you know. It's just
right.
I think he can, and he could. So it's my fault, you know. You know, it's a terrible thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
but otherwise he can. You know, it's just me. You know, I'm overprotective. And I was always like that. Even my grandma and my, you know, I took care of my grandma when she was alive.
Oh.
You know, so I was a caregiver mm-hmm. a long time. So
yeah.
That's how I always am. Yeah.
Besides, I'm going to ask a difficult question here.
Uh-huh.
Besides, because this is something that I get from my family. Besides the day-to-day, you know, worry, you know, about him falling or things like that, do you look, I don't even know how to put this delicately, but like my family looks, and I always feel like they're worried about when I'm going to die. Is that, I'm sorry, did I touch a nerve?
No, you didn't. It's in my mind. You know, but I try to push it out, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, his illness is terminal, the spinal cerebellum ataxia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I just, you know, leave it out there. You know, I try not to think about those things. But it's, you know, it's when you love somebody, it's, you know, you just try to, I try to live in the moment, not to think about those things. You know, I lost three people in the radius of, like, in 2008 and 2009. Went so quickly, so now I don't try to think about those things. You know, my grandma was a regular, you know, lung, because she died of smoking, and two people I lost to cancer. So it's like, now I just try to, like, live as is, you know, because of that. So so it's a big thing now. So
How would you advise people, how would you advise loved ones and family members who spend a majority of their time worrying about that? How would you advise them to enjoy the day, and the right, enjoy each other and the time that they do have with?
And I'm starting to try to do that. It's just watch them, you know. You know, you could do something. If they're watching TV like he is, I'll do something. They're into the program, and I know that. I go and see if he needs something, and, you know, I do it. But if he gets up, and if I see he's carrying something, I like to grab it because it's going to fall out of his hand. But otherwise, if he's sitting there, I'll see if he wants something. And even I would want that if I'm sitting, someone to ask me. But if he's walking, I just like to watch a little bit, because if he stumbles, maybe he could fall down. But I'm just trying to let him do what he wants now and to enjoy his life. Because if you're over too much, it's not good. It makes it, you know how I explain it? Just try to let them enjoy. Be careful, but enjoy it. Because you don't know how much time they have left. You know what I'm saying? So let them enjoy their life. You know what I'm saying?
And just make the
watch,
most.
Yes. Don't say nothing. You know, just let them enjoy it as long as they're doing everything right. And there's another thing I say. You know, you're doing something right if you get up every day and go to bed every night. That's my statement. That's what I always say to myself. So you know you're doing something right. Even to someone disabled, I would say that too. You know you did something good. That's how I do it. That's how I say it.
I think an important thing to remember, you know, for the loved ones of someone living with a disability or living, you know, terminally or anything like that, is to enjoy and cherish the moments that you do have together.
Yes, that's why we're trying to do stuff and take pictures and just enjoy what we do, even though, let's say, it's a free event or something. Whatever there is to do, because there's so many things you could do for free in New York, you'd be shocked. You know, just do those things with your family and friends. Go out, enjoy it. You know, like sometimes on Friday night there's free museum events. Go and do that with your family and friends. Cherish those moments, you know, because you don't know how much time they have left. You know, and especially in the summer. I mean, the winter, it's freezing out. But I have to say, if you're not sick, try to go through those events, because you don't know how much time. That's what I always say to myself. Because you never know. That's how I look at it. Yeah.
Michael, before I let you go, because I have somebody else waiting trying to get in, I just a last word of advice, because I tell you, I love to see you and Robert together. You know, I love to see it. You can see how much you guys love and care for each other.
Oh,
and I'd like to for you to give a word of advice. Pardon me?
As soon as I met him, the disability didn't even come into play with me. You know, I just knew immediately. You know, that's one thing people, you know, you have to realize. You know you love somebody when a disability doesn't even come into play. You know, that didn't even come into mind when I met him.
All you saw was him.
Yes. That's
beautiful.
Yes. That's not even there, you know what I mean? You know, that's something. You don't see that, so, I knew that.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Michael, thank you so much for sharing with us.
That's what I always say. Let them enjoy, because that's what I'm starting to do. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. I hope I was helpful.
Oh, you definitely were. You definitely were.
I hope so.
And I'm gonna cut you off the line, and you can call back in to listen. But the lines are blocked up, and somebody's trying to, the other guest is trying to get in.
Okay. Alrighty. Have a good night.
All right.
Night,
thanks,
night.
Michael.
Okay. Bye. All right.
Good night.
I'll see you soon. I'll see you in
Alrighty.
Late. And that
okay.
You know the late event. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
That was wonderful. That was a wonderful interview.
Yes.
And we appreciate
yes.
Michael calling in.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to let in Hanif, who is Mike, who happens to be my son. So I'm going to try and not be too mommy-ish while I'm talking to him. Hold on. Okay, Hanif, let's see if we can get you in here. And I wonder if he was listening to when I was talking about the conversation that he and I had, the emotional conversation that we had. Because usually, you know, with me and Hanif, it's usually joking. You know, we're talking about life or we're, you know, laughing or something like that. So, you know, it really gets emotional like that with us. But let's see if we can get him in here. Hanif?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm all right, yourself?
I'm good. So we were talking about what disability looks like from the eyesight of a loved one or a family member. And I'm going to ask you, what has your experience been watching your mother as her disability has progressed?
It's rather difficult, you know, seeing you go from a able-bodied person to being in a scooter, not being able to see, difficult for you to walk, stand even, you know. It's difficult watching that, especially while I was younger, you know. And like, okay, this is the person that's supposed to be taking care of me, and it's like it can hardly move for themselves, you know. Especially knowing that it was difficult for you, you know, to transition and like getting used to everything. Going from a situation where you could work on a regular basis to it being difficult for you to find a job that you're capable of, you know?
Right. So over the years, has it gotten better or worse for you to, or has it gotten worse? Or is it just something you just learned to live with?
It's gotten better because I'm watching you progress. You know what I mean? So that's making it easier, as well as knowing the fact that it's not really something that could kill you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting easier. You know what I mean? It's not as difficult. It's not so stressful anymore.
Mm-hmm. I remember when you lived in North Carolina. You and your sisters lived in North Carolina, and we had a very emotional conversation. At first, I was talking to Zara, ended up hanging up talking to Zara. Then I ended up hanging up talking to you, and then ended up hanging up talking to my sister. But on that day, you were very emotional, you know, and you basically told me that it looked to you like I was deteriorating. And, you know, what I gathered from the conversation is that you felt like I wasn't going to last long enough for you to see your children.
Mm.
Do you remember that conversation?
Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Have your feelings changed since then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, like, that feeling mainly stemmed because it was like I felt like you were, I'm like, even though you were doing what you were doing, it was like at the same time it was like you were spending a lot of time, like it kind of seemed like a depressed state, you know what I mean? And it took a toll on me as well, you know what I mean? And I'm like, even if it wasn't an illness, being depressed or stressed and stuff like that could take a toll on you physically, mentally, you know what I mean, and on your health.
Hmm. Okay. So as one of the things with us, and I'm going to tell you, you have been a help to me as far as motivation and inspiration. You know, honey sits and he reads to me sometimes from these. What's the book that you were reading from? That you were reading to me from?
I was reading to you from like three different books. I was one was Rich Dad Poor Dad, one was The Art of Seduction, and the other one was Mastery.
Mastery?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, these things, the different ideas that, you know, he's been trying to share with me. And one of the things that to me that shows me a sign of is that you see that there's a future.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? That you do see that there's a future and quite possibly a successful future, and not just waiting for mom to conk out.
Yeah.
You know, because that's kind of the feeling that I was getting from you guys. Like, you know, it felt like you guys were waiting for me to die. And I don't mean that like, won't you hurry up and die? But like you guys expected me to die and to not, and so like, and it's my fault. Like, you're not trying hard enough. You're not, you know, you're not eating right. You're not living right. You're not exercising right. You know, like you guys, I felt like you guys had become my parent. Like you guys have become my personal trainers and my nutritionists, and it was kind of getting on my nerves. But now I you know, and on that day when I had that conversation with you guys, I had to really stop and look and understand that this is not just, I'm not just going through this alone, that you guys are also going through this. And, you know, because for a while I felt like, shit, I'm the one with the disability, you know, but you guys seemed like you were more down about it than I was. And no matter how much I would tell you I'm okay, you guys couldn't see that or wouldn't see that. But now, you know, I feel like you guys, I feel like everybody's okay now. I feel like everybody's okay now, and that, you know, maybe you... Go ahead.
We see you doing something positive now. You know what I mean? It was because, like I said, for a long time it seemed like you didn't know how to deal with what was going on with you. You know what I'm saying? So it it took a toll on us. You know what I mean? It leaves us worried. Like, oh, what's she gonna do? Is everything gonna be okay? Is she okay? And not just physically. You know what I mean? So watching you, so it's like, I have to say that I am very proud of you to see your transformation. You know what I mean? So I'm very proud of you. You know what I mean? You realize, like, all right, just because I'm not capable of doing the things that I used to do doesn't mean I'm not capable of doing anything. And then to watch your show grow, you know what I mean? That has me very proud of you as well, because it shows that you are being a pillar in your community, you know, and it's like, you're showing people that just because I'm incapable of doing certain things doesn't mean I'm incapable of living life.
Yeah. That is I'm glad that's something you see. And I'm hoping that, you know, other people can see that also. We have 1 minute left to the show. I want to thank you guys for participating. Michael, thank you. Sasha, I see you there. And Tyson, I'll see you next week. Honey, thank you so much for sharing your point of view. Don't forget to tune in to Late. Next week, we're going to be talking about towards understanding each other, men and women asking each other some point-blank, in-your-face questions. And followed by that, January 30th, we are going to do it live at Axis, at the Axis Project, from 5:30 to 9:30. That's at 1325 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan between West 111 and West 112. See you guys next Monday at 6 p.m. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Mom.